Shall we stand as we read the scripture for tonight found in Ruth chapter 4, and we'll read the first 12 verses. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the near kinsman of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." And so he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." And so they sat down. Then he said to the near kinsman, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance." And the near kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was a custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was an attestation in Israel. Therefore the near kinsman said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself." So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife, to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are witnesses this day." And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, like the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." May God bless the reading of his word tonight. Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and thank you. Thank you for this book, Lord, that we have been going through, this book of Ruth. Thank you, Father, for your word. And I pray tonight that we might be encouraged to know that you still work today like you worked in those days, only better. Father, may we be strengthened to do your will. May we be motivated to work out our salvation with fear and trembling as you work in us, Lord. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this message tonight, Blessings of God. And of course, as I go through it, we know that there are many similar events of how God worked in those days, and with Boaz being the kinsman redeemer, as we find that Jesus is our Goel or kinsman redeemer, another name for that, the Hebrew name. And as I was reading this, I began to think of the book of Ruth, and it's a little treasure in the midst of things. Now, I'd like to go back and just rekindle your minds anew to remember that this was during the time of Judges. Now, during the time of the Judges, there was apostasy, moral decay, warfare, anarchy, violence, almost anything you could name. They were going downhill. The trend was down. God would raise up a judge and bring them back again. And the minute the judge died, we know there'd be a period of time and the people would start to slide again. Remind you of anything? Truly, we see that we're living in a very similar time today. Now, the thought goes through my mind frequently as I listen to the news, both religious news, I'll just put it that way, and secular news, I see this type of apostasy, this falling away, this developing dislike, and it goes deeper than that for Christians or anyone who has to do with Christ. And so this is not new. I read, or it goes through my mind as it was in the days of Noah. You've heard me quote that many, many times. Every thought and imagination was only evil continually as God looked down. And I wonder what he thinks today. Because he says before Christ comes, it's going to be that way. I went over the verse in Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. In other words, urging, encouraging one another. And so much the more so, as you see the day approaching. And I thought, that's an interesting verse. I don't hear it quoted much, and when it is quoted, I don't hear the emphasis, as you see the day approaching. We will see that day approaching. We will know by the things that are happening that it's very near Christ's return. Now, we aren't going to be seeing the second coming of Christ when he comes down to earth, we'll be up in heaven, won't we? The marriage will already have taken place, and so will the Bema Seat judgment. But in other words, there are signs before he comes again. That's a verse that's not quoted too much. I just wanted to throw that in because I cannot keep from last time's end times study. But as we come to the book of Ruth, I see we have a good example. And next week we'll talk specifically on lessons from the book of Ruth, and that will be our final message from this book. But this was so encouraging as I look at this backdrop, and then I see this remnant that God is going to work with. Is that common? Absolutely. Absolutely. Paul says even today there's a remnant. And we will find that things will go downhill. This is very biblical. This will happen. But praise God, he is not stopped from working. At all times, he is in control. When Satan's having his wrath, God sets the boundaries. Always. He did with Job. He will do it again. We see in this factor, as the spirituality was growing cold, God still worked with these few people. And he reached into Moab, a place that was founded on incest, a nation that was founded on incest between Lot's daughter and Lot. And yet, there's nothing that stops the Lord from working. He can take out and draw to himself. Ruth's love is manifested in these first two chapters, and Ruth's love is going to be rewarded in chapters 3 and 4. I find that it's interesting to look at, there's four different locations where God's focus is in this book of Ruth. We start out and it was in Moab, was it not? How long were they there in Moab? Anybody remember? How many? 10 years, right. 10 years in Moab. Elimelech had gone over there. And I believe with this sin abounding, I believe the famine was a famine of judgment by God. This is why these things happen so frequently. And so they took off to Moab. But God can still work. Elimelech died. And so did his sons, leaving just three widows altogether, the two younger ones. And then, starting with verse 19 in chapter 1 through all of 2, we find that the action changes to a field in Bethlehem. And this took place for several months. You know, they had the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and so there were several months' time. And then the action in chapter 3 took place in the threshing floor. And so we have a day there. And that was a very precious time. And now we come to the highlight, or one of the key chapters, chapter 4. And as we go through this, we'll see God's fullness of work through providential working. Now, it sounds like it's just circumstances, and somebody could say, boy, it was lucky, and so forth. But I don't see that. I see God working through all of it. And I think all of us that recognize the sovereignty of God will see that God, there is no soul that comes to God apart from God working in that soul. There is none that chooses God. There is none that's good. There's none righteous. Romans 3. We can't read that without recognizing that it's got to be God's work if somebody's going to be truly saved. And I believe that's what happened here as Ruth found the Lord in Moab. Now, oh, there's so much I'd like to say here. But I think we'll start back on verses 1 and 2. And we see, according to custom, that court is going to be in order. Notice how it's set up. A little different than our day when we run down to the courthouse and the judge is sit. It didn't work like that here. Boaz went up to the gate, sat down there, and behold, the near kinsman of whom Boaz had spoken came by. And Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down here. So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down, and then court was in session, wasn't it? And the transaction was going to be made. There were witnesses, and this would be a lasting thing. And in verses 3 and 4, we talk about redeeming the property. Verse 3, he said to the near kinsman, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Now, I'd like to go back and just read so we know from Scripture where this is coming from. I haven't taken the time to do this much in the past, but let's go back to Leviticus and chapter 25, and I'm going to start reading from verse 23. So you see what is set up and where the custom originated from, that it was set up by God in order to protect the property and the family possessions. And there's another thing that's brought in here. But in chapter 25, third book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, beginning with verse 23, the land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession you shall grant redemption of the land. If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possession, and if his kinsman redeemer comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold. Or if the man has no one to redeem it, but he himself becomes able to redeem it, then let him count the years since its sale, and restore the balance to the man to whom he sold it, that he may return to his possession. If he is not able to restore to himself, then what was sold shall remain in the hand of him who bought it until the year of Jubilee, 50 years. And in Jubilee it shall be released, and he shall return to his possession. Now, they give some more examples all the way down through verse 34, but we're going to stop reading here because this was a custom and this was followed. You'll see some of these have changed a little bit over the years, but this is where it comes from biblically under the law, as God took care of them. Now back to Ruth, verse 5. Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance. Now, I imagine this was quite shocking. I read this, and maybe not so much at that time because that was their custom, but for me as I read it and I come to this part, and you might have the same idea, you know, first, yeah, I'll buy the land. Now you get a wife along with it. I mean, that's gotta throw some people. And so, as well as being able to, as far as wealthy enough, and the other things that go along with that, related by blood, being able to pay the price, be willing, but you'd have to be free to be able to do it, wouldn't you? You'd have to not have any other encumbrances. What did he mean by this, spoil his own inheritance? Let's say he had a son, and then he raises up another son who takes the name of Naomi and Ruth Elimelech's inheritance, and his son died. Can you see the conflict that would bring along? And so these were the things that they had to be concerned about. As I read through and thought about these things, it was a little bit more complex. Now, next week especially, we're going to take Jesus as our kinsman redeemer and look there, and we find that he's fully able, willing, and became man for that very purpose and was free to do that. It cost him his blood, obviously, and we'll talk more about that next week. And then in verse 6, the near kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was a custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was an attestation in Israel. Therefore the near kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal, and Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are witnesses this day. Naomi had sold some property, had to be redeemed back, or they wanted it redeemed back, and of course with it the wife. And now that came from Deuteronomy, and I'll just read a few verses there. Chapter 25, Deuteronomy chapter 25. If brothers dwell together, and one of them dies and has no son. This is verse 5 in chapter 25. The widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside of the family. Her husband's brother shall go in to her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of the dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. Now, as you read through verse 10, and we might read that, we've got the time, you'll see that it was a little bit more stringent here than what happened with Boaz and the kinsman who was near. Verse 7, back in Deuteronomy 25, if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate and to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of a city shall call him and speak to him, and if he stands firm and says, I do not want to take her, then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot, spit in his face, and answer and say, so shall it be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house, and his name shall be called in Israel the house of him who had his sandal removed. You can see there's a little more aggression there. Now, some of this has changed, and they added the next nearest relative and so on. I don't know when that took place, but I enjoy this part of Ruth where it's a little bit more simplistic in the way it happens. Now, I want to remind you that as the chapter 3 ended, the last verse back in Ruth chapter 3, Naomi tells Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter on this day." She knew that Boaz was about to do everything he could to see what was going to take place. And Ruth, of course, as we talked last week, learning to wait. This is one of the hardest things to do, I can imagine, as she knew the custom, knew probably what was going to happen, not how exactly it was going to happen, but knew the general custom. And I'm sure Naomi told her, and she was waiting, no doubt praying. It's interesting. There's many things. I can't add too much because the Bible doesn't say, but I'm sure waiting with expectation and anticipation and desires as this was taking place. And so we find that Boaz here received Ruth through this manner. I thought that's a lot different than what we do today, isn't it? But he had Ruth to take to wife. Now, as we finish this last two verses, it says, "All the people who were at the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem.'" Rachel and Leah, you remember, were two of Jacob's wives. Now, they were responsible for 8 of the children that were born of the 12 tribes. You remember that the handmaid of Rachel and the handmaid of Leah each, I believe, had 2 children. Finally, Rachel gave birth to Joseph and Benjamin. But Leah and Rachel, the mother of 8 of the tribes of Israel, I haven't thought of it that way till reading Ruth this time and looking at that, how God used these 2 women. Leah was the one that Jacob really didn't want to marry, and he was tricked into marrying, but she was the one who bore 8 children, so God was still working through her. And then Rachel, of course, had Joseph and Benjamin. Prosper in Ephrathah, that word means fruitful. And so it was interesting. We probably don't read that much until we get into, I think it's Matthew or Luke, as it talks about Jesus being born in which Bethlehem, and Bethlehem Ephrathah. "May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." Now, obviously, as I look at this, again, I see God's hand working, but I want us to just look at what happened, because this is going to be important for those who come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We find Ruth was a Moabite woman, and now she was sheltered and taking refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. There had been a change. She had left everything. She had left everything. She went from a stranger and foreigner into the land. She was a foreigner. That was what the talk was. But she came to a place of acceptance through Boaz. Does that ring a bell, beloved? She went from living on leftovers to possessing wealth. She was gleaning just the leftovers to take home. And within this transaction that just took place, she came to a position of wealth. She went from being empty to being full. She went from the old gods to being under the God of Israel. She went from the old life and customs to experiencing all things new. She went from being an individual to being accepted in the community. We could go on and on the changes that happened in this transaction as Boaz took Ruth to be his wife. Now, let's go back and just think of some of the things that we covered. Because as we come to the Lord, sometimes I believe we find that we don't have the fullness of victory because we aren't willing to leave the old life completely. You with me in that? How many times do we cling? Now, praise God, Ruth left everything. There are two key verses. The one is 1:16, and that's the beautiful one that we've quoted several times. Don't urge me to leave you, she says to Naomi, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Have we been willing to say that to Jesus? That we're willing to leave. We don't want to go back. We're willing to go on with him all the way. I believe that's so important. Orpah started there too. They both started out. It's like the soils. They went a little bit, and then Orpah went back. As Ruth encouraged her, but she went back. Probably never, I say probably, at least we aren't told, probably never to have another chance at coming under the shelter of the God of Israel. That was the only way, is to come and become an Israelite. God had chosen those people to be the ones to share his glory. And so only by coming through Israel. We have next week another lady who was willing to do that too. And that God reached and brought into his realm and his life. And then we have another key verse. There were two of them. And that's in 3:11. And that was when Boaz said, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." We know that Ruth had character, but Boaz said, "I will do as you request." Those are the two key verses. Now, as we look at this, we look at the background, we look at the sin, the apostasy that was going on, and we see God reaching down as a good shepherd and drawing both Naomi, a godly woman who had become bitter, who had lost her joy, who was living a defeated life at that point. And the Lord brought her back along with Ruth. And then Ruth is elevated to a position of the wife of Boaz and being able to help her mother-in-law, which she did all the time in supporting her. And that was her intent. And I thought, God, today, as we come to know him, I've been encouraged by some and discouraged by others as we work to share the gospel of Christ. Because there are some who still want to hang on to part of the life that they've been used to. And I would like for next week to think of the things that draw us to the old life. I would like us to think of the things that would draw us to the old life. And we may ask for volunteers. I hope some of you take this seriously. Because there are quite a few things that draw us back. Ruth went all the way, and the Bible only shares the portion of her character that she was faithful all the way through. She was strong in her character. She was strong in her love. She was strong in her determination. She was strong in her work ethics. All good qualities. Never once do we read of her desiring to go back, talking about the home life. She left her God and left those things that would tend to weight her down and pull her down and keep her in bondage. We find, I believe, that many of our professing Christians are weakened, if they are Christians, that's between God and themselves, but are weakened because they want to hang on to something that is theirs. When we come to God, do we really believe that he'll supply our every need? my wife and I have been challenged on the steadfastness of God. This morning we had the song about resting in God. With all these things around us, can we truly rest? Or as Boaz said of Ruth, you have found refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. Can we truly rest knowing that God knows us? Do we have that conviction that we are one of His and He knows us and there's nothing that can come our way but what hasn't gone by Him first? I pray we can, because it's going to be hard to live as difficult times come if we can't totally trust Him and say, God, I'm all yours. I have given you everything and I'm ready to follow you any place because I know you will take care of me. The stress gets high. And I experience it. I know you experience it as you look on the things that are happening. As we look at the things that are happening in the atmosphere, I can't say specifically that God is speaking, but I sure have a good idea He's trying to get our attention, don't you? And so as we look at all around us, can we totally rest knowing that He will take care of us? Now, He brought back joy in Naomi's life. And we'll see that next week, what she experiences. He brought back a renewed life from one who was empty, where Naomi became full, and one who was bitter, where she could have joy, and one who just couldn't see the goodness of God as she came back, and yet the Lord blessing her in this wonderful way. There are blessings today for every born-again child of God who's willing to put their trust in Him completely and fully. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And as we go home, next week we'll be on lessons from Ruth, because there are many lessons that we can take as we finish up this portion. As we go home, I'd like to have us think about Ruth. A very little book, encased in a time, the author's really unknown. Many times Samuel's referred to as the author, and yet there are some things that really don't go along with it. Probably happened during the time of Gideon, from what I've read, and yet there wasn't any assurance that that was steadfast, but during the time of the judges. And so we know that God was working. He'd reveal Himself. Why didn't they stay? Well, there's lots of answers probably for that question. But I ask today, why do churches go through apostasy today? Why are churches trying to all be the same? Why are churches wanting to have an ecumenical movement? Why is the cry that we all believe in the same God when we know from the Bible that there is only one God and His Son, Jesus Christ? We know that our blessings come from the God of heaven through Jesus. And so these same things are happening over. But be encouraged. He can reach down to one individual, whether it's a Ruth, or to one small church, if they're faithful and putting forth the word. We're going to close. We're going to stand as we close in a word of prayer. But I pray that this will give you some things to think about. Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank You for Your love. I thank You for this book and even what it's meant to me as I've studied, Lord, and gone through it. Thinking, as my cry has always been, Lord, show me Your ways and teach me Your paths and lead me in Your truth. And as we see some of Your ways of working, in taking these two women from Moab, bringing one back and the other one to Bethlehem, and Lord, when You call, You always provide and enable. I have preached that. When You call us, Lord, and we've been called and we respond, You always enable. You enable us to live And Lord, I pray that none of us might fail due to lack of faith from one who has been so perfect in all that you have promised. You have shown us your handiwork. You have shown us your miracles. You have provided, even in this church, where people can see that you are the God of the heavens and the earth. You are the God who hears and answers prayer if we pray according to your will. You are the God who loves us. And so, Father, I just pray that each one of us might be encouraged to draw near to you in a way as we've never drawn near before. If there be somebody that doesn't know you, they might be encouraged to seek your face, Lord, or to come and ask questions. Father, dismiss us with the fullness of your blessings now. We pray in Jesus' precious name. They answered and said, Amen.